Jurassic Park 3, Spinosaurus Potter, by Gojira 126, read by Sam Gabriel, based on the works of Michael Crichton and J.K. Rowling. Chapter 15. The storm came out of nowhere. Heavy rains pouring down like some ancient goddess was crying over the island. Lightning split open the sky as the sounds of life seemed to vanish into the night, the trees taking the brunt of the torrential downpour. However, this was also the time when the horrors of the night came out. Predators that were nocturnal awoke and started their hunts, while other creatures came out to eat. This time, new predators came out due to the heavy rain muting their sounds. In the darkness, something stalked. Harry knew it was there. He knew it was stalking him. And he knew it wasn't the female creature from before. No, that one had been watching him before he had tossed at the neck of the bull Brontosaurus. The creature left him alone afterwards, seemingly satisfied with the offering. He had finished off at least two-thirds of the sauropod before tossing it behind himself into the trees, where a pack of Venatosaurus were watching. He wasn't above giving his food away once he was done with it. But now he sensed that something was off about this rain. Like some primordial deity it was weeping over something. It had just happened out of nowhere. But to supply the plants enough water, it must have rained a great deal. Harry watched his surroundings before something caught his attention, wet and furry along with the smell of exposed flesh. He stopped before growling deeply, eyes watching his surroundings as his nose gave him a general picture in his head. Something was watching him, something angry and wrathful. He then made the decision and bolted through the trees, letting his stronger limbs carry him across with swift speed. Whatever stalked him refused to give up the chase, and a screeching hollow howl followed him. He didn't stop, focusing on where his feet would go as he found the ground to be treacherous. One moment he was running alongside a cliff edge before he was sliding down a slope of hill. He soon found a less dense area in the trees, diving through a break in them before turning. The thing followed, swinging from a tree that stuck out of an overhanging cliff face. It was shaped like a great ape, however, its body was only showing flesh and bone. No skin covered the horrific monster, though its back had the only covering of fur. The silver back hair was soaked from the rain as its skull sneered. The skull was that of a tyrannosaurid, heavily built for its kind, something that wasn't uncommon for the species that diverged and evolved on this island. The animal reared up on its hind limbs, showing that all four appendages ended in sharp talons that could tear into flesh with ease. It beat its chest, bellowing in absolute hatred. He roared right back, louder and far more ground-shaking than the false animal. Harry and the mega-sized primate circled one another, studying the other for weaknesses. The standoff was broken as the ape launched itself at him, screaming as it came. Harry ducked the fist aimed at grabbing his snout, spinning his body around to whip his tail into the monster. Blood came out of the wound, a deep gash that ran from shoulder to lower chest. The primate growled as it backed off, trying to get ground between them. Harry pushed his advantage, charging the brute with its jaws open. Harry, in his haste, let his jaws open to attack. They were grabbed by the clawed hands of the ape as it tried to pull them apart. Thankfully, Harry had another weapon up by his metaphorical sleeves. His own claws lashed out and tore into the thick skull of the ape, bone shards flying into the trees as a chunk of the upper jaw was torn away. The reaction of the ape was to toss him away, but that also disoriented Harry as he slammed into both tree and cliffside. He saw the creature get closer as it snarled. Then he realized it also had a sharpened log in its hand. Harry tried to get up, but his disorientation refused to go away. The ape gripped the makeshift spear in both hands, holding overhead like some hunter of the past would have over a kill. In the moments before the spear could be brought down, the jungle seemed to come to life and attack the ape. It howled before its howl was cut off, the shape of the thing finally showing itself. Its ghostly white scales shone brightly in the flash of lightning as its jaws clamped tightly into its right arm, claws slashing into its already wounded chest. It was smaller than him, but its size was nearly equal to the ape, as it stomped onto its chest and pulled. Muscles, tendons, ligaments tore free as the skull of the monster left the primate body. Tossing the skull away, the dinosaur roared into the night in victory. Harry grunted before slowly regaining his feet, shaking the last of the blurry vision and dizziness away. He moved closer to look at the ape, frowning as he remembered a story that his mother had given him about a fictional ape that lived on an island of prehistoric survivors. Of course, this abomination wasn't that ape. It was like someone had resurrected that fictional animal and put parts of extinct reptiles into it. He growled at this very dark magic usage. He could smell it leaving the body. He looked at the female that was watching him, her eyes lining up to his before she looked away. He shook his head before she growled an invitation to him. Her cave until the storm passed. He growled his acceptance and followed the indominus Rex through the jungle to her cave. He wanted to get out of the rain before another one of those decaying Kong monsters showed up. James knew something was going to happen that night when Sirius made a certain comment he would only do if they were being watched by Death Eaters.
"I haven't seen this much rain since Amelia lost her brother and sister-in-law," Sirius commented. "Who killed the Sky's kid?"
James grunted before kicking one of the soldiers in the boot, getting his attention before he too did the same with others. Soon the camp was on full alert as Sirius flicked his wand in anticipation. A spear was thrown from the darkness, nearly hitting James before it was shot out of the air by one of the guards. His marksmanship also got everyone to pull out their weapons of choice as the natives started to swarm in. James gritted his teeth as a female monster nearly hit him with some sickly, violent spell. She and her hair both hissed, the latter made up of various species of non-magical poisonous snakes, her human body fit and curvaceous. She sent another spell at him. He blocked before firing a few jinxes and curses back, none hitting as she slithered on a huge snake tail towards him. He backed up before charging her, changing into his animagus form mid-stride. That caught her off guard as his massive antlers skewered her, his huge form lifting the lamia-like beast off the ground before tossing her away like yesterday's trash.
"Prongs!"
Sirius grinned before hurling another curse at a native, the man's head rolling off his shoulders.
"Good to see you've gotten bigger. Mind helping us be immortals with this pest problem?"
James simply charged at the closest crowd of natives, barreling into them and causing severe injuries to many. He noticed that the shift had been a bit different than it normally was. As he had done this transformation for years, the size was way off and built like some tank instead of a swift deer. Not only that, his antlers had increased in size and number of points. It was like his animagus form had been left on this island and was now shifting to fit the needs of survival on this land. Becoming Deerzilla was clearly what had happened, as James used his back legs to cave in a native's chest. As quickly as the attack had happened, it had stopped as the wailing of the dead and those that escaped into the night slowly became silent. James waited several minutes before shifting out of his animagus form, collapsing into the mud from the sheer exhaustion. He had never been that tired before from changing his form. Okay, maybe the first few times during his fourth year when he and the Marauders had successfully become an Omega. Sirius helped him to his feet as the bodies of the natives were dragged away to be tossed into rivers or into the forest, not wanting to attract any more predators. Sirius looked him over before helping him to a seat by the roaring fire that had been fed more wood.
"If I'm going to be honest, James, you look like shite," Sirius commented after hitting James with a few cleaning spells.
"I feel like that, Sirius," James said with a nod of appreciation. "Prongs changed."
"I noticed, James, you looked like that ancient ancestor of the deer that Lily had us read up on when we visited that museum in America," Sirius said with a smirk. "Yours was armed for prehistoric warfare, James."
James snorted at that. "I felt like that. And the power in it was amazing. But it's also tiring. Sirius nodded before grunting.
Wouldn't be surprised this place is teeming with magic so ancient that it's bound to change us in some fashion. I haven't changed into minor magus form yet because of that reason.
James grinned sardonically. You will eventually, or I'll force you to. The pair laughed before they had to head for bed, not seeing those that watched them from afar. She hissed darkly. As the magic magnifying the intruder's camp faded away, her digitigrade legs shivering slightly in the rain. Turning, she walked towards where her necropramatus Kong was waiting for her. The anthropomorphic raptor snarled darkly as the rest of her pathetic strike forces came back, only a dozen and a half returning to her vantage point. It seemed like the arrogant hybrid was killed as well, thank Kong for that.
Another one,
the leader, or the highest-ranking living warrior amongst the group, spoke.
They seemed to know we would not be attacking, and then chaos broke out. One of the intruders turned into the ancient deer. I couldn't believe it, but when he did, he impaled the honored witch before tossing her aside.
She didn't comment on that before her ire was spiked again by the images of the weapons the humans carried, using fire to kill. How ugly, she sneered to herself before speaking to the remnants of her forces.
We are withdrawing from this camp, she said,
motioning back towards home and where her warm cave was.
Until we can create an army to oppose these intruders, and by Kong's will, we will. But the Water Goddess has shown her hand, stopping us from fully using our powers. They feel the dead, they want us to fail.
The group nodded with angry curses at the deity over all water. Her tears that fell kept them from using their magic fully. She turned to walk away when another demigod rode up on his necropramatus. The bullman grunted before dropping down off his animal's back, his dark fur soaked, as he spoke to her in a rough voice.
One of the wrath have fallen,
he grunted before holding up a ball of stone, which shifted to show the image of a battle between the ancient Spinosaurus and the intruding female theropod.
The wrath was decapitated before it could end this Spinosaurus. He should have died tonight. The Oracle was dead set on his death. But something happened as she foretold it.
She frowned.
What happened? Tell me.
He grit his teeth.
Something forced her to regurgitate her own organs to her death. Like one of the deities was displeased with her trying to force him to have a final fate.
She blinked in shock before growling.
I'll land the Spinosaurus myself. You get these survivors back to the village.
She leapt onto the back of her necropramatus before turning her steed towards the dead wrath. Growling in her throat as she let her magic boil under her skin and in her blood, she would kill that predator of her mighty steed. She swore to Kong.
For the full text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Gojira 126. Music from Jurassic Park for the Nintendo Game Boy, gratefully used by permission of composer John Dunn. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact info on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find links to other stories that I've read, my Discord server where you can attend live recordings of all of my ongoing projects, and various ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.